Welcome to the sofa. I'm Sherry.
I'm Bonnie, and this is the Sisters Hallmark Sip and Chat podcast.
We're a couple of crownheads who love all things Hallmark.
Welcome back to the sofa and our week 5 episode of Hallmark's Countdown to Christmas. In this episode, we will be sipping a rosemary grapefruit fizz from the Hallmark Channel Countdown to Christmas Celebrate the Movie Magic book. You can find the recipe and a link to buy the book on our website, sistersipandchat.ca. Head to Facebook and Instagram to see pictures of our creations. In this episode, we will be chatting about this week's 4 movies: A World Record Christmas, Navigating Christmas, A Merry Scottish Christmas, and Holiday Hotline.
Movie number 1, A World Record Christmas, starring Nikki DeLoach as Marissa, Lucas Bryant as Eric, and A.S. Delma as Charlie. Charlie wants to beat the Guinness World Record for stacking Jenga blocks on the Christmas Eve and prove to everyone that people with autism can accomplish amazing things. With the support of his mom, Marissa, his stepdad, Eric, and the people of their town, Charlie organizes a fundraiser in support of kids with autism. Let's find out how this movie rates on our sofa rating system. But first, a quick explanation. Our custom sofa rating system includes a list of 20 Hallmark tropes broken down into 10 categories that will determine how Hallmark is this movie. You can download this list from our website, sistersipandchat.ca. This movie earned 11 out of 20 sofas. The categories for this movie are town holiday celebrations, location, 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 family and friends, and the charitable event was gifts for families in need at Christmas and the Jenga fundraiser to benefit kids with autism.
I am not familiar with the nuances of autism, but I feel like they did a good job of representation in this movie. I also like that his mom and his stepdad got behind his Christmas wish of breaking a world record, like right away. They supported him through it. You know, and they reminded him he's more than his autism diagnosis. On the other side, the fact that his dad hadn't seen him in 5 years, I kind of thought was pretty deplorable. And his dad seems sort of nonchalant about it, like his kid is just a stranger, which seems unfathomable to me that a parent would feel that way, though I know it happens too often.
Yeah, the fact that this young boy was worried that his dad was not around because of his disability is completely unacceptable and unfortunate that it would be wrong, of course, to tell him that his father's a selfish so-and-so.
Yeah.
But my personal background and training is in autism and working with these individuals on the spectrum. There have been some of the most amazing people I've ever had the pleasure to meet that are autistic people. And I understand that autism is identified as a disability, but these individuals had much greater abilities than even I or most people that I meet.
Yeah, it was great. We usually have an artificial tree, which I think is beautiful, but this year we've decided to wait until the first week of December to get a real tree because there's just nothing like the smell of fresh Christmas tree to inspire Christmas spirit. And I love that they included that. It was something that was uncomfortable for him and something he'd never had, but he decided partly because he liked that girl, to step out of his comfort zone and go and cut down his own Christmas tree, which I thought was very cool.
Yeah, I thought it was so sweet that he was trying so hard to find a way to adapt and mingle with his feelings about his friend that was a girl. Even allowing her to use his nickname Chucky, which for him was a huge challenge, as it is for many people with autism. They're very particular, very structured, and predictability is how their life manages. But that was a really great thing. However, my heart was breaking for him, knowing that she didn't feel the same way and that there was going to be a really hard life lesson for him to know and to understand those emotions and understand that they can still remain friends. So glad that that was able to happen and that the mom was able to talk to him. But that young girl really took the time and understanding to relate to him where he was at Oh, and their handshake that they had. Because
Yeah.
a lot of autistic people don't like to be touched either, right? They don't like to make direct eye contact. They don't really like to have physical contact. They'll let you know when it can be initiated. It's usually by someone they're very, very close to. So that was a really big indicator that that relationship was really important to him. My personal issue with this particular movie, and not to be a Debbie Downer, but the mom sneaking to go see the boy's father, her intentions, well, like trying to see if he can come and see his son. But I just really felt that was uncalled for and unnecessary. Like, if you want to have a long and healthy marriage, sneaking around on your husband, understandably, don't say anything to the son because you can't commit to him that the dad's going to come. But to your husband, that didn't make any sense to me.
I agree. I think they were kind of trying to tuck in some romance in amongst this boy's story, but it was very much his story at the center. And he chose a challenge, the Jenga challenge, that was just super difficult looking, but so cool. I had no idea that it was going to be on one single Jenga that he had to do this 1400 other Jenga pieces. Like, I'm shocked that anyone can do it. And my heart totally broke for him when he was doing the actual Guinness challenge and he knocked over the pile because, his emotions were getting to him and he was just m literally minutes away from winning the record. But having his stepdad take that dad seat, he wrote dad on on that seat for his dad who didn't show up, and then asking his stepdad to sit there to watch him do the challenge, even though it wasn't Guinness anymore. The rep, wasn't there technically for
That was
that.
a personal one.
It was a personal thing, and he totally did it in the time he, whether Guinness was there or not, he did, beat the record, and I definitely shed happy tears during that
Oh,
moment.
yeah. Because that's a huge statement for him to say, I now accept you as my dad.
Yes.
Yeah. I can honestly say I have absolutely no idea, as you stated, how they can balance all of that on that. But the shapes that it needed to be for
Yeah.
it, that was very, very interesting. That was super cool. I also really enjoyed all the different dad jokes that there were in this movie. There was quite a
That's
few
true.
dad jokes. I mean, he was, I know he was just trying to be funny. And we talked about this last week, but when he was in the library, he was doing that stacking to make that tree and using the
Yes.
colors and how for the structure. Like, he was very smart, that engineering type mind. But again, we talked about having that at a library, and there they were doing it.
Yes, exactly. It was a really cute and really meaningful in some ways story, and I enjoyed it.
Me too. I did.
Movie number two, Navigating Christmas, starring Chelsea Hobbs as Melanie and Stephen Huszar as Peter. Recently divorced Melanie and her son Jason visit a remote island for Christmas, only to find themselves running a real working lighthouse where she connects with the curt but cute owner. So, how does this movie rate on our sofa rating system? It earned 17 out of 20 sofas, and the breakdown of categories is town holiday celebrations, location, 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 family and friends, affairs of the heart, big life changes, Christmas magic, and the charitable event volunteering to set up for the Christmas Festival of Lights.
Okay, I have to say, I am all for going on a holiday over Christmas. I haven't really done it because I've been away from my family, but I'm all for it. But to be put to work, even if I don't want to, that's a bit of an overboard for me. However, the fact that she doesn't really cook is a woman after my own heart, since I am not much of a cook at all. And I did learn that people never use timers when they're cooking, because this is the second movie of the night where Christmas cookies were burnt.
Yes,
Yeah.
that's
When I'm
true.
cooking, that happens, but.
I think they were just making that extra point that she really stinks at cooking. She can't even cook 10-minute cookies.
I get
Yes, I
it.
agree with you. It seems like a scam to rent a place that you pay for and then you have to actually do chores. Okay. That is not my kind of vacation. Even if it is to participate in this really cool Christmas event, which I get. But still, I don't know. I feel like it was a bait and switch kind of happening there.
Yeah.
It was very charming. The seaside town was charming. The lighthouse is definitely a unique place to spend Christmas, though I'm pretty sure would not be my first choice or second, third, fourth. I think I have a few ahead of a
I have
lighthouse.
to say, I agree with that. The lighthouse did look amazing once it was decorated. And of course, you know, all that decorating and work had to happen in order for everyone to regain their full Christmas spirit and open their hearts. You know, we wouldn't have a story if it didn't happen. But however, I did think one of my favorite parts was that the lighthouse was the town tree lighting ceremony.
That
they used that and that they had such a good story behind it to justify why they did that. I really like that.
That's true. They did a good job of the backstory of the lighthouse for sure. Maybe like not so much on the other bits and pieces, but the lighthouse's story was excellent. The town reindeer games were super fun looking and many I'd never seen before. The town events in this movie were fun, and I really like that everyone pitches in to help get the festival going.
Yeah, it was a real town experience for sure. I did really like that the boy used the history of the lighthouse and the town to do a school project because it helped us learn more. It introduced a much broader story because some of the love story was a little thin, your typical, we're not speaking, now we're going to fall in love story.
Yeah.
But I was really glad because after we learned all this about the town and we learned so much about the lighthouse, I was so glad that she was willing to save it and make sure that that would still be there. So that was nice.
It turned out they were a good connection for sure. And I love that she gets a chance to reconnect with her son. It's definitely not fair that her son blames her for the divorce, but I sympathize why she didn't want to tell him about his father's missteps. But I think he really should have been told the truth. I think it would have been better for him. And I just really think it was really cute once again, even in the end. This kid uses the Morse code that he and Peter learned to save him after he, you know, takes off in the boat and whatever. They kind of bring it back to the lighthouse again and that connection with Peter to do the Morse code.
No, that was really cool. And it was actually like the way they do the shutters or whatever. That would have meant nothing to me, but at least it meant something to them.
Yeah, for sure.
Okay, movie number three, A Merry Scottish Christmas, starring Lacey Chabert as Lindsay and Scott Wolfe as Brad. Lindsay and Brad are estranged siblings who met up for Christmas at Glencrave Castle in Scotland, along with their mom, Jo, who has been hiding a very big, very royal family secret. Now, let's find out how this movie rates on our sofa rating system. This movie rated 15 out of 20 sofas. The categories are town holiday celebration, class of the classes, location, 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 family and friends, big life changes, and charitable event, the Christmas dance for the town.
This movie was at the top of my three top movies to watch this season, and I completely enjoyed it. I put it in the right level for me. A castle at Christmas would be amazing. I would love that. And to find out that you were actually royal would be the absolute best Christmas present, in my opinion. I'd be packed up, moved in a heartbeat, and I'd be taking that title of Duchess. Thank you very much. I absolutely love seeing all the scenery of Scotland and the adorable Shetland ponies.
Oh, yeah.
I was super shocked to find out that Scotland had banned Yuletide vacations, aka celebrating Christmas, for 400 years. That is unfathomable to me, but they seem to be making up for it, especially in this movie, with tons of fun holiday celebrations, especially a fancy ball.
Yeah, I have to say the most shocking thing I learned in this movie was about the Christmas being just stopped.
Yeah, I Googled it just to make sure they were not telling
like,
me.
How is that even like possible? But however, once again, Bonnie, your pick is a true Hallmark winner. I mean, the characters, the fact that they're from other movies together, like it, there was already chemistry. It was, that was great. And of course, and I know we've had this conversation many times because you do that.
The genealogy. Oh, what do you call
it? The genealogy. It's my dream to wake up. Bonnie's going to say, I am royalty, but no such blessing yet. But let me be very clear to our listeners. If anyone is willing to give up their castle, I am 100% available.
Just bring it this way, for sure.
Absolutely.
You know, keeping secrets from your kids is a dicey game, even
I agree.
Intentions. And, you know, this is kind of a big a big secret, who your family was and who they are in their community. That's a big secret. I'm glad that the kids got over their offense that they had at the beginning and they stayed to help support their mom.
Yeah.
And of course, they made time to work on their relationship, which is so important. Life is so busy for everyone. You really have to take the time, like we do, Sherry, to spend quality time with family and not just during the holidays. Siblings are a friend you have for life, but it's still a relationship that you have to nurture for it to thrive.
I agree. Family relationships, personally, I find could be the hardest to navigate. You love each other to death and you won't let others get in your way. You'll do anything for them. But communicating together can sometimes be a real challenge. And this is very common in many families. Mm-hmm. But those of us that have families together, we need to cherish them and cherish who we have left, because keep them close, even if they're crazy. Because once they're gone, it's never the same.
That's never so true. That's so true. I loved in this movie, and I know a lot of people have said it online, how awesome it was that Lacey's co-star, Will Kemp, from The Christmas Waltz, I believe was the name of it, showed up in this movie as a local and teaches her, instead of how to waltz and tango, as she says, I only know how to waltz and tango, but he teaches her how to dance the Scottish dance, and they did an excellent job. It looked awesome. I love that they connected those two movies together like that. For those of us who are
going, don't I recognize you.
Yeah, you look so familiar. Where do I know you from? For those of us who are huge fans of Lacey, it made the movie even more special. This is only one of the many reasons this movie is my favorite of the season.
Actually, my husband, as you know, is a huge Lacey fan. He thinks she's just absolutely beautiful, funny, great actress. She can have a serious role. She can have a humorous role, which is my pick coming up next week with her. Yeah. And so he, you know, this was cool that there was a movie from before included in it. So that was nice. Okay. I know I'm always the one with a bit of the negative, and I'm really sorry to our listeners, but the one thing that I do want to mention is that hot chocolate they made with everything in it but the kitchen sink.
Yeah, that was
that
gross.
Honestly sounded and looked disgusting to me. But yeah, it was sweet that it was a memory that they shared together and they did it again as part of their bonding process. So that part was great, but I know every week we try a new drink. That one's not going on the list. Let me tell you.
That was weird with a crushed up cookie thingy. That was a hard pass.
I agree. And the thought of her giving up her title and her man, that seemed insane to me, but glad she changed her mind.
Well, she didn't take the title, but she took the man.
Well, she said, are you okay to date a duchess? So that
That's true. But when her brother, so it's sort of ambiguous because her brother said, are you sure you don't want to be announced? I think she just is because she
that is. That was during the dance. But then after, this is when she returns from the
cast.
That's
true. So I hope that she took the title.
How about dating a duchess? Yeah.
Because I hope that she did. I want her to be a duchess because I totally would be. My favorite line from this movie, it's not where you are, but the effort you make. That was a great line.
That is a great line. Very, very good line. Yeah, it was a great movie. And again, for those of you who get to travel around the world, probably nothing new to see, but for us, amazing to see another part of the world.
Yes, love when they film on site. And it was a beautiful sight to see, for sure. Movie number 4, Holiday Hotline, starring Emily Tennant as Abby and Niall Matter as Jack. Chef Abby leaves London and vows never to cook again. So she takes a job at the Holiday Hotline in Chicago and connects with a single dad making his first turkey. Little do they know that they've already met in person and now have feelings for each other on and off the hotline. So how does this movie rate on our sofa rating system? It earned 10 out of 20 sofas, and the categories are town holiday celebrations, location, 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 family and friends, affairs of the heart, and big life changes.
Okay, once again, this movie was about people not knowing how to cook. She may have been professional chef along with those on the call desk, but the others were not. Mm-hmm. Here are the things I learned. A, let a turkey rest for at least 20 minutes before eating. That was good to know. Not that I'm going to cook it, but good to know. B, don't let the grandkids near the turkey or you could end up with toys inside. Yes. Are you kidding me right now?
It's a the very lady good...
trying to pull it out of the dryer. Like, is that how you defrost? Like, I didn't know what
very
that
good
was.
Tip.
And the most important thing was the Yorkshire pudding. Now, that's a huge hit at this house. And with my husband Gareth's family's heritage from Wales, it's something that he's always made for us. My daughter Jordan loves it. So seeing that and talking about it, but seeing how she made that special Yorkshire pudding, that was like a hug for us. We loved that.
Yeah, they look delicious. I love Yorkshire pudding too. It really made me want to break out my pans and make a homemade Yorkshire pudding.
Okay, let's not get crazy. I wasn't breaking out any pans, but I
cooking turkey, and I did know that you have to rest it. So that part I did know. And I also knew that you shouldn't put drugs inside. That part I also knew.
Who would know that?
Who would know that? Like, I don't know if a holiday hotline actually exists somewhere in this world, but I think it's a great idea.
And for someone like me, it's a wonderful idea.
I think there's so many people who struggle at the holidays with not just making turkey, but all of the bits and pieces. I think it would be a great way to talk to someone, have someone talk you through it. I happen to know some professional cooks and stuff who taught me stuff over the years, so I know it's very invaluable. However, I have to say, this movie, the British accents were atrocious. They were all
thank goodness something fake. Negative from you, not just me.
Yeah, they were all fake, and though they tried hard, okay, I'll give them an A for effort, but it was a solid D when the listening in my ears. That part I didn't want to listen to anywhere. It was funny watching her try to deal with all the Americans, though, with that slight language barrier of what a British person would understand and what an American would understand. That was funny. One of the things about this movie I found a little odd was their being in the same room, even though they were on the phone. Like, instead of shooting away like she's at her desk and they actually placed them on in the same scene as if they were on a stage, and then they didn't acknowledge each other. It was just them talking. So at first I it was like, what are they doing? I mean, I got used to it eventually, but it was a little bit odd. I'm not really sure why they chose to do that in this film.
I have to agree. I didn't actually even think of that till you brought it up, but the thing that threw me about that was because they were following each other in those rooms of wherever that call was being made.
Yeah.
As opposed to seeing her at her desk with her British cup that she didn't go anywhere in that office without.
Yes.
But and being able to see her true expression in that moment of uncomfortableness. I'm at my work. This is happening. I think you would have got more of how it was affecting both of them if they were in their actual worlds. But maybe it's easier to cut when it's just one scene. So
yeah, it was a directorial choice. I'm not sure the purpose.
I mean, it was nice, but I didn't really get it either.
Mm. Yeah, it kind of took me out of the scene a little bit. So that I think was a little interesting.
Well, and I feel like they had to do what they did, that they chose to conceal her identity so that Jack wouldn't know her, because otherwise there's going to be no mystery love story to this.
Yeah. But
I have to say, my favorite part was the boss getting invested in their love life. That was hilarious to me. Because most bosses would be like, come on, you know, get to work. Whereas he's like, he's on the call. Oh, but the one time he listens in, and then the other times he doesn't. So I don't know when he picks and chooses to listen, but it was very entertaining.
Abby's supervisor at the hotline was hilarious and my favorite character of the movie, honestly. I love, like you said, how invested he got in Abby and Jack's romance. But, you know, with all of this talk of turkey, seriously made me crave a plate of turkey with cranberry jelly and stuffing and lots of gravy. So I kind of got distracted some of the times from their discussion. I'm like, man, I could really use some turkey right now.
I agree. I did really enjoy the openness, though, that Abby and Jack had on those phone calls, because sometimes it's just so much easier. You can be brave when you can't see the person. You don't know them. You don't see their facial expressions. You're never going to meet them. So you can kind of just get it all out. I don't know how often, you know, the turkey crisis line becomes, you know, a human therapy line, but maybe the two go hand in hand. So maybe that's exactly what did happen. But I do think that the honesty would have made for a more refreshing storyline and a better Hallmark story if she told him once she knew. I understand there's supposed to be this misunderstanding, but the whole point was that she was supposed to be this genuine, honest person who had just been wronged. She knew he was a vulnerable person who needed honesty. So that I just felt like it was okay that it was happening and they didn't know. But as soon as she knew and they were face to face when she found out, there was no real, like, no reason not to tell him then.
I agree. I know she didn't want to cook anymore. You know, that was, she felt a little burned from that. But I think it would have been a more interesting story if she was in person having him cook,
showing him how to
training
cook
him, even though she didn't touch anything. She's like, I'm not going to cook anything, but I'm going to be here with you doing it. I feel like that would have been a more natural romantic experience. But, you know, this movie reminded me of, like, you know, the Hallmark movies of the early days, you know, they weren't like earth shattering, but still a solid Christmas love story.
I have to admit, though, that the holiday hotline for the turkey thing, great concept, whether it's true or not true or whatever. I would have liked seen her, like you said, cook side by side. But to add the humor, if you didn't have the hotline, some of that humor would not have been.
That's in that true. The humor was part of the joy of it, for sure.
Because I did find that it had some humor. Of course, it had romance. But the dad wanting to fulfill his little girl's Christmas wish, that pulled at my heartstrings. You know, she doesn't have her mom. He wants to bring things back to normal. So this was genuinely, I did like the actors. I really liked the male actor in this movie. And I think it was a really good movie. I'm glad I saw it.
It was a simple Christmas wish, you know, just to have dinner in your own home. But it really hit home the importance of being with your family in your own home at Christmas time.
When you can, absolutely.
When you can, yeah. Okay, well, let's talk about our drink, the Rosemary Grapefruit Fizz. So I'm not a big grapefruit fan, but it's super pretty and still has a nice flavor to it.
Yeah, I, for me, the grapefruit, like the pink grapefruit, is not like my favorite. It's a bit tart for me. Mm-hmm. But again, nice Christmas drink.
Yes, certainly looks pretty. It's, if you like a pink grapefruit, probably a really good choice to add into your holiday festivities.
This episode was brought to you by Hamish Community Services, opening doors by taking the dis out of disabilities. You can find out more information at hamish.ca.
Well, fellow Crownheads, we've come to the end of today's chat.
You can find all our episodes on your favorite podcast network.
And on our website, sistersipandchat.ca. Subscribe and never miss a chat session.
Thanks for listening. Join us next time.
And we'll save you a seat on the sofa.